So how many of you, when you heard No More Christian Nice Girl, thought, what? What? Why would any Christian woman in her right mind want to stop being nice? Is this little lady from Kentucky going to tell me to be mean, to get rude for Jesus, to go around the table at a dinner party and say, well, you're a liar and you're a cheat and you're a gossip and you need a new haircut. In Jesus' name, pass the potatoes. No, I am not going to suggest that we become Christian mean girls, but I do want us to consider what we mean by the word nice. If we mean kind, caring, and compassionate, then yes, Christian women are supposed to act nice. But sometimes we're not being nice, we're acting nice. Or as we say down south, acting nice. We say yes to people's requests. We hold back from sharing our true opinion. We try really hard to make people like us, not because we truly care about other people, but because we are afraid of conflict and rejection. We smile through gritted teeth, and we go along to get along because we fear someone's disapproval and anger. And this kind of nice behavior is really cowardice and sin in disguise. So let's see who in the audience might have a little nice girliosis themselves. You should have gotten a little quiz when you came in. I'd like you just, this is short. In the No More Christian Nice Girl book, there's actually a 50-item quiz. But in the interest of time, I'd like you just to look down through there real quick. True or false? Fill out those 10, and we'll see who's got a case of nice girliosis. And then count up your number of trues. Raise your hand if you need more time. Okay, I'll give you a minute more. I'm not nice. I'm not going to give you more time. Although that was a nice thing for me to give you more time. That's funny. Okay, who has three or more trues? You have three or more trues. Thank you for being here today. Who has four or more? Keep your hand up. Four or more. Five or more. Six or more. Seven or more. Eight or more. I'm glad you all sat right down front. Nine or more. You're nine? Okay, do you might have all 10? Is there a 10? We got a 10 over here. Any other 10s? There's a prize. Anybody want to admit they're 10? Okay, you were a 9. Any other 9s? Oh, you're a 10? You're a 10 there? All right, we got two 10s. Okay, here's what I have for you girls. I have Christian Nice Girl survival kits. So let me show you what's in the kit to help you as a Christian nice girl. So first of all, Christian nice girls have a lot of anger on the inside, so you've got these stress balls to squeeze instead of pinching off people's heads. And then you have these little you can bend people, you know, instead of bending him. And then Christian nice girls, to help you learn to be more assertive, I have some finger puppets for you so you can practice. To say, will you be the head of the PTA? No, leave me alone. Okay, so you can practice with your finger puppets. And then Christian nice girls, they have a tendency to lie, because on the inside they're saying no, but on the outside they're saying yes. So I have some whoppers to help you learn to not tell any more whoppers. Okay, so could you come over here and help me take these to these lovely ladies? Right here. So there's one back there in the pink. Oh, they both have pink on. I wonder what that means. Okay. And the other one's right. There's one right there. Thank you for being good sports about that. Am I the only woman here who has ever felt worried, frustrated, resentful, burned out, confused, guilty, and depressed on the inside? Like Nicole, while simultaneously on the outside, slapping on a plastically pleasant smile. Followed by an alarming tendency to lie, lie, lie like a rug. We lie to other people. Everything's fine. Why, yes, I'd be happy to loan you some more of that money that you never pay back or use the way you told me you use it. No, I don't mind that you called me at midnight. I can always sleep when I'm dead. No, I am not angry. What makes you think I'm angry? We lie to ourselves, too. Well, they wouldn't like my opinion, so I'll just keep quiet, even though they're totally wrong and I'm totally right and I'm ever so slightly ticked on the inside. But I've got to keep everyone happy because that's what Jesus would want. Plus, everyone will think I'm a demanding woman if I say anything about this. And I'd just die if people got mad at me or talked bad about me or if I ever, ever, ever hurt anyone's feelings about anything. It's far better to just lie than to risk hurting someone's feelings with the truth. Friends, that is not being a peacemaker. That is being a peace faker. It's the disease to please. People pleasing runs rampant in our culture and in many of our churches. And we, ladies, we are not being transformed into the full image of Christ when we would rather have the approval of man than the approval of God. Wanting to please everyone, needing everybody to love us, that's little girl behavior. And as believers, we are called to leave that behind. Ephesians 4:13. This, and by this it's referring to the work of the church, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That is our goal as Christian women, maturity in the Lord, which means we measure up to the full and complete standard of Jesus. Jesus is our standard. Jesus is our yardstick. If you want to know if you are an emotionally and spiritually mature woman, don't look at your date of birth on your driver's license, because your age is not the measuring stick for emotional and spiritual maturity. Look at the true measure of maturity, Jesus, the full Jesus, the complete Jesus, not just the sweet side of Jesus, but also his firmer side, which this firmer side can make us uncomfortable as women. It's that side of Jesus that stretches us and requires us to grow beyond what our culture and maybe even our church tells us is acceptable for a woman. Look at the times when Jesus is firm and forceful. The times when Jesus says no to people, to their requests that are outside of God's will for him. The times when Jesus takes a break and takes care of himself. How about that? Even those times when Jesus faces necessary conflict head on in a situation. Instead of Jesus, so I don't know, perhaps complaining endlessly about the situation on Facebook and tweeting about it. Then getting snippy with his family, then pouting because no one asked Jesus what's wrong, even though he's slamming kitchen cabinet doors. And then Jesus finally eating an entire pan of brownies to drown out how he's feeling on the inside. Not that anyone in this room has ever done that. Someone on the stage has done that. Let's look again at Ephesians 4:13-15. We will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, then we will no longer be immature like children. And skip down to 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. As we wrap up this awesome SOAR conference, take a good look at your behavior, at your choices, and then speak the truth to yourself in love about yourself. Are you growing in every way more and more like Christ? Or are you stagnating as a Christian nice girl? Could I speak a hard word of truth in love to my sisters in Christ this afternoon? Thank you, because I would have anyway. Here's the hard word of truth. Some Christian women never grow up. They never grow up. Their entire lives, they act like people-pleasing, fearful little girls, and this cripples them, their relationships, and our church. They never grow up into full maturity emotionally and spiritually. They never grow up into their full potential in Christ, and their relationships are never as rich and as full as they could be. They never fully live the abundant life Jesus promises because they never confront what they are most afraid of, being rejected or being criticized. Guess what? Jesus is criticized. He is rejected. People got angry at Jesus. Why? Well, because Jesus was not a sugary, sweet guy. If Jesus had been a really, really, really nice guy, he would have lived to a ripe old age. Jesus chose to do the will of God, what God wanted to do in every situation. And sometimes this earned him the crowd's approval, when he would feed them and he would heal them. But other times, doing God's will, it earned Jesus the crowd's harshest criticism and rage, even though Jesus is the complete embodiment of healthy human personality. Jesus showed us what emotional and spiritual maturity look like in a human body, what it looks like walking around. He is immensely compassionate, kind, and gracious. And he is also assertive and bold and even forceful when necessary. Jesus is good. He is good, but he is definitely not as nice as some Christians want him to believe. When we were writing No More Christian Nice Girl, we wanted to know how many of the verses in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell of Jesus' life, how many of those verses show the other side of Jesus, where he's firm, where he's forceful, where people get mad at him because he's following the will of God. And we could not find that statistic anywhere. So we decided to do that ourselves, and we were under a publishing deadline. So I asked my mother to help, and a mom to the rescue. And so she went through all four Gospels and categorized every single verse. And we have put that in an appendix in the back. And when you read through that appendix, I just want to show you, I don't know if you can see this or not, that this is just the listing of all of the verses where Jesus is not such a nice guy, where he is firm and forceful and faces necessary confrontation. When you read just through the appendix without reading all the other kind and compassionate things he did, you get to the end and you're like, well, no wonder they killed him. My goodness, what a revolutionary person he was, how willing he was to be firm and forceful and even offensive to people if it meant following after the will of God. Let me give you some examples. This is just a sample of some of those verses. John 2, 15 through 16. So Jesus made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." That wasn't very nice, was it? Jesus made a mess. He made a scene. He made people mad. Have mercy. Jesus made waves. That is what can happen when you stand up for what is right. Or Luke 4, 28 through 30. He goes home to Nazareth. And at first, everyone is praising his teaching because he's made good. He's looking good. And then he starts speaking truth to them about their hard hearts. And here's how his hometown people respond. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. It doesn't sound like Jesus is very good at being popular, does he? If he keeps this up, he's not going to be voted prom king. Jesus didn't hide his opinions and his true feelings. He didn't sugarcoat things, and he was rejected at times. And that's what can happen when you speak the truth in love. John 7:12. Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about Jesus. Some said, "He's a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." Or John 8:48 and 49. The people retorted to Jesus, "You Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon?" "No," Jesus said, "I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father, but you dishonor me." People gossiped about and criticized Jesus. They misunderstood him. They questioned his motives. They thought he was crazy. That's what can happen when you honor God, when you try to please God instead of pleasing people. He doesn't seem quite so sweet now, does he? Now, you tell me, what does our culture say women are made of? Everything nice, yes. Did your mom ever say this? You can catch more flies with than with vinegar. So act nice and sweet so you can manipulate people into doing what you want. Ladies, Jesus' example gives us permission to grow up and to be more than just sugar and spice as women. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus tells us, "You are the salt of the earth, not you are the sugar of the earth." He wants us to do far more than manipulate people with pseudo-saccharine sweet Christianity. He wants us to find that growing up into his full image is practical in everyday life and relationships. Growing up into the full image of Christ, being a gracious and a firm woman of God who speaks the truth in love, who has healthy boundaries, that really works in relationships really well. It results in better relationships and a more satisfying life and ministry. And if you choose to follow the example of an artificially sweet Jesus, you're going to be a frustrated Christian. Because following that fake example does not work in real life. It may sound nice, but if you put it into practice, you're going to find out it sabotages your relationships. It will rob you of joy. I say this to you as a recovering Christian nice girl. I say this to you as a psychologist. My clinical practice is full of the loveliest Christian woman you could ever meet. They are so nice. You would want to be their friends. But behind their nice smiles, they feel taken advantage of, resentful, frustrated, depressed. They feel guilty because they have so many blessings in their life, but they're still anxious and unhappy and on the inside. So they feel guilty that they're struggling. They're overly compliant. No is a four-letter word to them. And they rarely say it except when it comes to their own self-care. They're all bound up, and it shows in their bodies. They have migraines, back pain, digestive issues, weight gain, low libido. They have patterned themselves after a false Jesus, an overly accommodating doormat, smile till your face breaks Jesus. And when following that artificial Jesus, when that doesn't work, when it doesn't bring them better relationships and spiritual satisfaction, they blame themselves. And this breaks my heart. They say, I guess I'm just not good enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I guess I don't try hard enough. I don't pray enough. I don't read my Bible enough. Christianity seems to work for everyone else but me. Listen, the problem is not lack of effort. These women are killing themselves to make everybody happy. Is keeping everyone else happy about to kill you? The problem is that we are not growing up into the full image of Jesus, the Jesus that has a backbone. Do you want today to grow up into the full image of Jesus? Yes, thank you. At least four of you do. That's great. To be a powerful woman of loving faith, do you want to be a woman who is known for having both compassion in her eyes and a fire in her belly? Do you want to be the kind of woman that when your alarm goes off in the morning, Satan says, "Oh no, she's up"? Well, if you do, here are three practices and three questions to add into your daily life so you will grow up into an emotionally and spiritually mature person like Jesus. And so you can be considered a dangerous woman in hell. Here's the first practice. Speak the truth in love. And here's the question to ask yourself in situations. What is the truth and who needs to hear it? Now that sounds good. We can all agree, oh yes, 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 Jennifer, we should all speak the truth in love. But choosing the path of truth, that takes some courage. That takes strength. And here's how this plays out in everyday life. So somebody says or does something that you don't appreciate or that you're reluctant to agree to. And at this point, you have two choices. You have two paths to choose from. You can take the fake nice path, or you can take the path of truth. And females, we're relational. We're all about making and maintaining relationships. And sometimes we will do just about anything to maintain a relationship, to keep the peace, including choosing the fake nice path. And if you go down the fake nice path, listen, acting nice can feel really natural, particularly if you're like me and you were raised in the South. It is in our DNA if you are a Southern woman. Can I get an amen from my little friends from the South? Absolutely. Yes. And acting nice, that fake nice path, it looks easy at first because you don't have to own your own needs. You don't have to voice your own opinions. And everybody's happy. And it avoids conflict. Now, really, it avoids external conflict with other people, but there's conflict inside. You can tell that by the way your stomach is in knots and your sleep is disrupted. But overall, that fake nice path looks smoother and easier. It's seductive that way. But over time, when you go down that fake nice, love you, yes, I'll do it, go right down that fake nice path, over time, resentment builds and builds, leading to those inevitable explosions that come out of nowhere and make you look irrational because you're blowing up over things that are unimportant. And over time, you feel taken advantage of. You feel unappreciated. You feel unnoticed. You might even be accepting abuse. The fake nice path requires you to hide your true feelings and opinions, so you end up lying to yourself and to other people, and that's a sin. You say yes, even though on the inside you want to say no. You lie and say, I'm not angry, when inside you're angry. You lie and say, it's okay, I don't mind, when inside it's not okay, and you mind very much. And just as a side note, this is why men find women so confusing. So that's what happens when we choose that fake nice path. Now, the path of truth, you can choose that. But it looks scary at first because speaking the truth in love can be costly. You could disappoint people. You could make them mad. You could be rejected. You could be criticized. And you may have some conflict in the short term. You might even lose a relationship. But over time, you will gain self-respect, righteousness, and true intimacy. When you speak the truth in love in a relationship, lots of times there will be temporary conflict. But remember, conflict is the price you pay for intimacy. And the first price you pay is always the cheapest. So pay it. Because the longer you wait, the longer you put off that necessary conflict, the higher price you're going to have to pay. Authentic, intimate relationships require truth speaking, and that can cause conflict temporarily. But on the other side of that necessary conflict is intimacy. You're really known. They know the real you. And you know what? If they don't like you, oh well. But at least they know the real you, and you know the real them. Here's some quick tips for speaking the truth in love if you decide you want to take this path of truth. When you speak the truth in love, you want to point with the sword of truth. You do not want to hack away at somebody with the sword of truth. Okay? Point. Just write down on that. Don't be obnoxious. Don't steamroller over people. Don't be that woman who disagrees with everyone just to look different or to draw attention to herself. Jesus wasn't a jerk. Don't be a jerk. I encourage you, practice speaking the truth in love. If this is really hard for you to do, if you've been going down this fake nice path a long time, you can practice. So you get in a situation and you're like, it's like what that little lady from Kentucky said. And I want to act nice. But stop and ask yourself, what is the truth and who needs to hear it? And you can start in a low risk situation. Like you're at a restaurant and the waiter brings your steak and you ordered your steak medium well and your steak is bleeding. Now, what is the truth? It's not cooked correctly. Who needs to hear that? The waiter. Now, some of you are thinking, it's easy to tell the waiter. I'm telling you, there are women in this room that would rather cut off their leg than tell the waiter that their steak is cooked incorrectly. So here's what the only way to conquer a fear is to face your fear. So face your fear that waiter is going to think you are a demanding, unpleasant woman if you speak the truth in love about your steak. Take a deep breath and say, excuse me, I ordered my steak medium well, and it seems to be bleeding and mooing on my plate. And then watch what happens. 99 times out of 100, what's going to happen? Yeah. He'll go, I'm sorry. Let me go get that fixed for you. And they'll bring you back a steak that is cooked correctly. After you practice in low-risk situations, asking yourself, what's the truth? Who needs to hear it? Move on to other situations where you need to speak the truth in love, because if you don't, nothing is going to change. Failure to confront is permission to continue. So ask yourself, what's the truth and who needs to hear it? And then move on to speak the truth in love in that situation. Those family members who repeatedly borrow money and don't use it like they said or pay you back. That adult child that you cannot get out of your house. That husband who yells or curses at you. Those coworkers who repeatedly dump their work on you. Or your employees who habitually show up late. It's time to speak the truth in love. The second practice to add into your daily life so you can grow up emotionally and spiritually is to do God's will, no matter the cost. And the question to help you put that practice into place to ask yourself in situations is, what does God want to see happen here? I promise you, there'll be a lot of other people who want to see other things happen here, but what really matters is, what does God want to see happen here? Now, when you ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do in this situation, do you automatically assume he'd have a gentle response? Remember that Jesus did God's will, what God wanted in every situation, and sometimes what God wanted was a gentle response, peacemaker kind of response. But sometimes what God wanted was a bold, rock the boat kind of response. And Jesus deliberately chose to do the right thing, what God wanted, God's will. So if we're going to grow up into the full image of Christ, that requires us to get the mind of Christ, to see things his way, and make the same choices he would, what he would want to see happen in the situation. Let me tell you though, ladies, you're going to pay a price for that. If you start doing that and doing God's will no matter the cost, you will pay a cost, because you will make choices that offend and anger other people. You cannot follow after God and not make people angry. You just might as well just grab a hold of it. It's going to be part of the Christian walk, the Christian life. Occasionally, you're going to make waves. You're going to rock the boat. Think about Jesus. He chose to eat with sinners. And who got really, really angry about that? The sinners? No. The church people. When you choose to be a God pleaser instead of a people pleaser, you're going to make other people unhappy sometimes. But God pleasers are willing to risk offending others if it means they can please God. So you got to choose, ladies. You just got to choose if you're going to grow up. Who you want to please, because you can't have it both ways. Let me tell you an example from my own life where I totally failed at this. This has been years ago. I was teaching a Bible study in my church. And the lady who was the head of the women's ministry, I taught, you know, kind of under her leadership for a while. And then eventually I just felt like God was calling me to actually be a part of a leadership of a Bible study that was outside our church, that a lot of people from a lot of different churches would go to. And after I'd been in that leadership for about a year, this woman contacted me from my church and said, she called me one day on the phone and she said, you need to come back and you need to teach at our church. That's what you need to do. So I tried to explain to her that I really felt, you know, I loved doing that, you know, working with her, but now God was calling me into something different. Well, she did not want to hear my no. And I should have gotten off the phone right then. Once I realized she's not going to hear my no, I should have gotten off the phone. But you see, I wanted her to be okay with my no. I wanted her approval of God's choice for my time and talents. I was really a people pleaser. So I stayed on the phone trying to get her to approve of my choice and be okay with it. And she wasn't going to be okay with it. And she kept pushing me and pushing me to do what she wanted. And I kept trying to defend my choices. And finally, I got so mad, I lost my dignity. And I, as my mother would say, it got ugly. It got ugly. And I said, what do you want from me? And she said, I don't want anything from you. Yeah. I was trying to do what pleased God, but I also wanted to please this person. And you can't always do both. And our relationship has never been the same. We are still cordial, but I think we are both deeply ashamed of where these two women that led in women's ministry, where we got. And it all goes back to me not wanting to accept the fact that she wasn't okay with my no. Listen, God was okay with my no. I was doing what God wanted me to do. It really didn't matter what she thought. You can't have it both ways. So ask yourself, what does God want to see happen here? Do God's will in every situation. Just pay the cost. You'll never regret it in the long run. And a final practice to add into your daily life so you will grow up into an emotionally and spiritually mature person like Jesus is to check your heart motivation before acting. Always check your heart. And the question to ask yourself in situations so you can check your heart, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's a great question to ask. If genuine love is motivating you to be kind and caring, to say yes, that's good. Great. You're growing up to be like Jesus. But if fear of disappointing, displeasing, or angering other people is motivating your nice behavior, then you have a heart problem. You're acting nice, being a Christian nice girl, not because you truly care about the other person, but because you're afraid, because you lack courage. And when your outsides don't match up with your inside, you have a heart problem because you're saying yes, not out of love, but out of fear. Jesus attracted thousands of people because he was motivated by authentic love. When he was kind and generous and helpful, those actions were motivated by genuine love for people. He wasn't motivated by a desire to win a popularity contest. And likewise, when Jesus was bold and confrontational, when he spoke a hard word of truth, those actions were also motivated by genuine love for other people, not motivated by revenge or wanting to appear superior, give them a piece of his mind. Here's a little tip when you're trying to do a heart check and you're at a point where you're like, okay, she said I need to speak the truth and love to somebody, and I am really ticked off at this person, and I am going to go speak the truth in love to them. All right, before you go to do that, say, why am I doing this? What's motivating me? Is it love or is it revenge? And here's a great way to know which one it is. If when you're talking about going to talk to that person, if your head is bobbing and you're going, I am going to give her a piece of my mind, okay? If your head is bobbing, your heart is in the wrong place. So don't go yet. Wait until your heart is in the right place before you go give somebody a piece of your mind. And be careful about giving away all those pieces of your mind, because someday when you have menopause mind and you walk in a room and can't remember why you walked in the room, you'll be wishing you had those pieces of your mind. Friends, it is time to grow up into the full image of Jesus. You are destined to be so much more than just a plastic Christian nice girl. Your destiny is to be God's good woman, a powerful woman who speaks the truth in love, who does what God wants in every situation, no matter the cost, and who is motivated by genuine love. You can become this woman. You can. No matter your age, you can become God's good woman. So let's go out of here with compassion in our eyes and a fire in our belly so we can change our corner of the world, just like Jesus did, the real Jesus. Could I pray for you? Heavenly Father, Lord, I have spoken some hard words of truth, and these ladies, oh, they've been such a great audience all day long. Lord, I ask that you would just cement in our minds those nuggets that we have learned today that you want us to take away. I thank you that you are a personal God, that for every single woman here, at least once today, you have spoken directly to her heart, either with a word of challenge, a word of rebuke, a word of encouragement. You've helped her meet people. You've helped her laugh. It's been a great day, Lord. And I ask as you take us out of here, Lord, that we will grow up to be like the full you, not just the sweet side of you, but as well that side that is willing to do whatever you want us to do, no matter the cost. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.